Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, and my co-host, Felicity Sidnell-Reed. If you've joined us on this program before, you know that we usually visit with an author. But this month, because it is Poetry Month, we are going to do something a little different. First, let me tell you a little about National Poetry Month. It began in 1996 as a celebration of poetry and was first introduced by the Academy of American Poets. They wanted to increase awareness and appreciation of poetry. Canada followed in 1999, and it has been celebrated every April since that time. To celebrate, we are going to listen to a number of local poets, and seeing that we're celebrating the written word, we thought we'd begin with some poems about writing and poetry. And our first poet today is Jessica Outram.
I'd like to read Lois is My Pseudonym. And this is a poem that will be included in an upcoming anthology called The Writing Spiral. Lois is my pseudonym. Her verses rhymed sometimes, blue pen in a Jedi journal, glimmering by her nightlight, dancing words glided eternal. At 10 she glowed inspired. Lois learned to write joy and pain, and she felt so alive, as sun words warmed her coldest rain. But she forgot her pen when she grew up and joined the grind. She sunk in life's wild stream, sewing a cloudy robot mind. She did not write at all. Cobwebs wheezed on her shelves of books, raw cinders dirtied time. Word pillars vanished with stray looks. Life was gray and lonely, filled with stainless steel and headlines. Wordless woman of tin, trapped, mad in a cramped ant-like shrine, choked and bored from life's straight line, she ached and prayed for some new sign. Lois built a tower to climb in search of her words lost, to seek inspiration and remember the self she crossed. Blue pen and blonde pages, once tossed from windows of regret, she promised her art and chanted strong, I will not forget. I claim my words today, write verses on my hands and feet. Beloved strings of letters will carve songs in your dull concrete.
Thank you, Jessica. And today we welcome Linda Hutzel-Manning as one of our Poetry Month poets. Linda, would you like to read us a poem, please?
Yes, I would be delighted to read you a poem. This is a poem I wrote about Alice Munro's character Rose from her short story, Who Do You Think You Are? You stand, smooth your pleated skirt, recite the poem, words so electric they glow across the wood dark room. Classmates stare. Miss Hattie clears her throat, breaks the chalk to underline, read poem of your choice. Her stare impales, condemns you. Whatever were you thinking, Rose? Do you suppose yourself superior because you can learn poems? Who do you think you are? That sin of vanity, of showing off, the nerve to dare to rise above your station, even though you weren't aware you had one until now. Now, with burning cheeks, you realize you've stepped across some unseen adult line, one that demands you repent. Apologize for what? You are not sure. Exuberance, perhaps. These words spilled out, good words. Your hope for praise now held as evidence of guilt. Spontaneity derailed, soaked in disbelief and shame. You take your seat, implode the shock, deny disgrace, shut senses down, glance through the sun-filled window, watch the path a lone bird takes across the morning sky.
Well, I think Miss Hattie should be spoken to. Since when was reading poetry or reciting poetry a problem? Anyway, thank you very much for reading for us today, Linda.
Thank you.
And our next reader is Marie Prinz. Marie, would you like to tell us a little about your poem?
Hello. This is a poem dedicated to the memory of the lost sugar maples on my street and also to lost words in our language. It is called No Language for Lost Limbs. Old sugar maples edge the road, power lines parting branches, fearful of wind and blackouts, bearing scars of lost limbs, victims of storms and chainsaws. The bee is silent, I tell the children. Cross it out, don't say the sound. They nod and ask, what's a limb? An old word for tree branch, a very large one, a word for you too, your arms, your legs. Limbs, boughs, silent graphemes, lost sounds from language, words once strong, bearing tire swings, tree forts, bare feet, bobcats, ancient hunters with arrows. Limbs, grayed, shedding bark, rotting, crashing to the ground, remnants of a dying language, supplanted by buckthorn, box elders, text messages, lopped words, hieroglyphs sent to silent screens. Limbs climbing, leaping, marching, reaching back, moving forward through centuries to today. Now disemboweled, shriveled, reduced to words not spoken. Don't risk life and limb, be careful, we warn the children. If you lose one, you lose the other. Words hold stories, yours, mine, our histories. Limbs lost, forfeit leaves, shade, nouns, verbs. A missing word today, a vanished language tomorrow.
Certainly something to think about. Thanks, Marie.
You're welcome.
Among our Spirit of the Hills writers group, we have a number of poets, and several of them were kind enough to agree to record for this program. You've just heard from Jessica Outram, a poet, playwright, editor, and teacher, as well as a publisher and a performer. And Marie Prinz, who is also a teacher of literacy and for remedial reading with children and adults. In this role, she has adapted many materials for her students. At present, she's also writing a novel about her home, a beautiful octagonal house built in 1856, and the family who lived there. In the next part, you will hear your co-hosts reading. First of all, myself, and I'm going to read a poem about a young boy who died 7,000 years ago in Labrador and whose body was buried in the first elaborate grave found in North America. When we come here as immigrants, Canada sometimes seems so vast and empty. And it's only later that we realize that, in fact, it's been home to people for a very, very long time. After all, 7,000 years takes us back before the pyramids were built. Lay his fragile flute, my dear, safely wrapped in woven scraps, near his fingers, stilled at last. Fever's gone and peace returns. Innocence replaces pain. Once again my eyes can see the buoyant youth he left behind. Grief has frozen mother's arms about his body cold as stones, pushed and pulled by tidal waves. Years of sea-cold lullabies whispered in his salty ears once his life had swept away. He'd been young, a traveler.